Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
And what's up with Trudeau? Is he spaced out? He didn't give us a little warning that the Chinese are flying spy balloons across his territory?
Yeah, little surprised by that, too. I hope it's that they did, and that wasn't reported, as opposed to them not knowing and not saying anything. But I guess the fact that we tracked it coming over the Aleutian Islands, apparently we were aware of it. But, you know, I got to agree with you there. I mean, look, that if we were worried about any ground clutter, I mean, we could have, knowing where the thing is, we could have tracked and cleared the ground there and then knocked it down if we wanted to. So I'm not sure what we think we gained, but... you know, I probably would have done with you. I probably would have popped it.
So Lieutenant Colonel Danny Davis, he said it probably would have popped it. I guess there are ways you can do that. And I don't even need to know the details. Just want to feel as though our country has their hands firmly at 10-2 on the wheel. Except for maybe is it 9-3 now? Did they change
that? Oh, please don't say that. It's always been 10-2.
Yeah, kids these days. We're following the reports from Jennifer Griffin and the news conference that just came through with the Chinese spy balloon. And we have lots of questions. It's still floating over the United States of America, which is why we bring in an expert to answer all of the questions, or at least maybe question with us what the heck is going on. Dakota Wood, our friend and senior research fellow for defense programs at the Heritage Foundation. Dakota, thanks for being here today.
It's always great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. We appreciate you. Can I just give you the floor and ask you what is going on and what are your concerns right now?
Well, before the age of people on the ground being able to see very high altitude stuff, you know, nobody would have known about this, right? It would have been something the military handled. And balloons have been used literally for centuries, but especially during the Cold War. And later, these things are around, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 feet in altitude. They move slow. They kind of disappear in the background because surveillance sorts of things are looking for differences. You know, either something is moving very fast against the background, it's hard against something soft, like, you know, a metal object in the ocean or whatever, or there's a heat difference. You know, it's hot or it's cold relative to what you would see in the background. That's how you pick things up. So balloons are awesome and that they have the same basic temperature. They're very transparent in terms of an electromagnetic energy sort of thing. They're moving pretty slow. So there's no real radar signature and all that. And so even in the age of satellites and spy planes and everything else, balloons have a real capacity for carrying large packages of things. So it's not surprising that a country like China would be using this. They've used it over Taiwan and Japan. As some of these press briefings have talked about, you know, there have been incursions into U.S. airspace over the, you know, the past few years. But this one, because of observations from civilians on commercial aircraft and then ground observers with telescopes and those sorts of things, have plucked it out. And it forced the government to really address this in public settings. So that's kind of some background to these things. U.S. airspace extends up to 50 miles above the country before it gets into outer space, and that's about 300,000 feet. So this thing at 60,000 feet is clearly, you know, in U.S. airspace. Mm-hmm. To the earlier point you were mentioning and some of these other commentators, you know, do you shoot it down or not? If we did shoot it down and the thing fell and landed on an elementary school, you know, or a farmer's house or something like that, then everybody would be criticizing the military and the government, you know, for taking such reckless action, right? If you don't shoot it down, then everybody criticizes, you know, all the apparatus for allowing this thing to hover over the United States. So there's really no perfect option either way. On the allowing it to stay where it's at, as it floats across, you can actually collect information on it. You know, how is it structured? What might be it collecting on? The techniques, does it emit or is it passive? What are the components, you know, hanging under this balloon? And so, you know, China reveals its capabilities when it does stuff like that, at the risk of it collecting on our ICBM fields, you know, up in that part of the country. What kind of radars are being used in that part of the country? Is it carrying camera packages, you know, for photographic sorts of things? Is this something that's collecting in ways that perhaps a satellite might not be able to, right? And so there are things that we would want to learn about Chinese capabilities. And if you destroy it immediately, then you lose that opportunity. Keeping it there allows some risk. So I'm just kind of throwing some stuff out there to show the complexity of these situations.
Sure. And I'm just automatically thinking like all of the worst possible situations or scenarios why this might be out there. And then also its ability to be seen. Is it purposeful? Does China want America to see this? You know, that's a political provocation as much as it might be like an actual threat.
Yeah, so on the intentionality of that, the rest of the world is tracking all this reporting, and this looks like a giant slap at the United States, right? You know, that, hey, you know, we're China, we're drifting our surveillance intel collection packages across the United States, and the big superpower can't do anything about it. You know, so it's a real, you know, thumb in the eye of the United States. It can be embarrassing stuff. That would be one way to interpret it. Another way to look at this is they want to collect. And there are various ways to do that. You can have spies on the ground driving around. You can have satellites. You can have aircraft. If you use an airplane, entering another country's airspace is extremely provocative. You know, there are certain rules that govern that. A balloon, well, how do you deal with that? You know, you could say it blew off course or whatever. There are certain rules that govern entry into airspace. We've already talked about it being actual airspace and not outer space where this thing is at. So there are multiple levels of signaling and messaging. You know, does the U.S. look weak and tentative because we're not taking action and the Chinese got one over on us? Or in a more sophisticated sort of, you know, way, hey, the Americans are actually collecting, you know, on Chinese capabilities and assets. It's, you know, it's demonstrating discipline, you know, in its response. You know, that might be another way to look at this. But clearly, the furor, the criticism, you know, the outrage or surprise by the public says that this isn't a good outcome, but it is the nature of interactions between major powers. You know, if you recall during the Cold War, we flew U-2s and SR-71 Blackbirds over the Soviet Union all the time, you know, intentionally violating their airspace to acquire intelligence that we couldn't get in other ways. So this isn't out of the norm, but it's unusual because we just don't hear about it very often.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dakota Wood, Senior Research Fellow for Defense Programs at the Heritage Foundation. Just so, because I'm just going to ask you some of the questions that people are commenting here, because I imagine when I see a few comments here, it's what a lot of people are thinking and wondering and maybe even afraid of. But they're talking about the payload that this balloon is carrying. Is it a virus? Is it an EMP? Is it something that's nefarious? Should it fall, it would cause some sort of major destruction? With the press conference earlier today, they said, no, it's not anything that poses an immediate threat. Although I don't know what kind of benefit would come from the government being like, this is a disaster. Now you should be panicking.
Yeah, it'd be sowing public panic. You know, we think it's a nuclear package. You know, what would the public response be? You know, everybody running for the cabin in the woods or, you know, whatever, you know, robbing banks or whatever. You know, I mean, it would just be, it would sow panic. So you're not going to see the government responding to that. Could it be anything? Absolutely. You know, we've talked about electromagnetic pulse, you know, EMP sorts of devices. So if you detonate a nuclear weapon that's designed for this purpose at high altitude, the energy burst goes over extraordinarily wide regions and short circuits, electrical, you know, power grids and anything with a wire in it. I mean, you know, this has been a great fear of even solar flares coming from the sun, but certainly it's a feature of the nuclear age. It could be that, you know, nobody expects that it is. we're not in those kinds of tensions, it would invite a nuclear response from the United States. But this is a platform, this balloon, that could carry a thing like that. Biological, highly doubtful, viruses and such are extremely vulnerable outside of the best conditions for growth. So if something, a pathogen, was spread on the sidewalk, quickly degrades just due to heat and cold and rain and, you know, solar energy and those sorts of things. So probably unlikely that it's anything biological in nature. But, you know, the electronics package, is it collecting? You know, is it passive that we talked about, photographic? More than likely, that's what it is, which is why our government is saying it doesn't pose a threat. And there are ways to mitigate whatever it is trying to collect. You know, you see its path. We would know what kind of radar systems we're using, what cameras might be able to look at, and you cover things up or move things around or what have you. So, you know, I'm always skeptical of what our own government says. I think everybody normally is, but it doesn't seem to be posing a military threat at this point in time and in the configuration that it currently is.
We're speaking with Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. So we've talked about some of the scariest things it could be. What are some like super boring ends of the story where we find out, oh, this was somebody who made a mistake, it went off course? Could you rule out that this is just a huge bungling of something that ended up over the United States and could have been way worse?
Yeah, I think 99% we can rule that out. I think it's an intentional thing. It's, you know, China releasing this bit. I mean, it's got a solar array under it, you know, that collects photovoltaic cells. And so this is a very sophisticated apparatus. Weather balloons do use sorts of things, you know, depending on how large an area you want to look at, the endurance, how long you want something to stay in the air. So equipping this with a solar array that keeps a package functioning, and perhaps there's some kind of a propulsion unit on it so that the balloon, you know, carried along by winds aloft, can maintain some position over a particular geographic area. You need some kind of a, you know, propeller or thruster some way. So the fact that it has this solar array tells us that there is a fairly significant instrument package on it of some type that allows for some kind of guidance or control over this thing, right? And so it's unlikely that this is an accidental thing. I completely dismiss China's statement that this is a meteorological, you know, weather tracking sort of bit that just kind of veered off course. That's complete nonsense. So I think, again, sophistication, altitude, who could build such a thing? Who would put it aloft? And the fact that it got to our land from wherever it was released, let's say China, you know, thousands of miles away, it just shows how little we really know about these large swaths of airspace and how transparent in a sensing way that these balloon sorts of capabilities are. And so it's something to keep in mind that we might be using these things, you know, against others. The government has a multi-million-dollar contract with a couple of companies to actually produce these sorts of airships to carry our own packages that could be used in various ways, either for collection or for weapons carriage.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking about what you're articulating there, and a lot of people are saying, what would China do if United States had this same scenario invading their airspace? And I got to imagine, I'm kind of counting on the fact that the United States intelligence operation is pretty robust, and that there's an understanding that there is a lot of spying going on across the world all the time. But this is a very open provocation. It makes the United States potentially look foolish, which of course makes China look stronger. Like you said, between two world powers, should the shoe be on the other foot? What does this look like if the United States has a balloon floating over the mainland of China?
China would shoot it down in an instant. I mean, they don't care about where the debris lands. China's a massive country, and it has a lot of rural areas anyway, right? But they don't have the same kind of value system that we would, or that we do, right? So I have no hesitancy in saying that they would just, you know, shoot the thing down, consequences, you know, be what they are. The U.S., since the end of the Cold War, has really shifted to a high-tech digital sort of methodology in conducting surveillance. So a lot of our stuff is satellite-based, We don't routinely fly airplanes across China like we did against the Soviet Union in the Cold War. Human intelligence isn't quite what it was back during the Cold War. You know, we had this happy decade of the 90s. 9/11 happens, and then everything was turned to terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda and Islamic State and Hezbollah and those sorts of people. So when we just don't have the same kind of robust apparatus that we did 30 years ago when the Cold War ended and the Soviet Union dissolved. But different rule systems, different value systems. Big states do conduct surveillance on each other all the time. Mm. China has made great benefit conducting cyber espionage, business relationships with American businesses, getting their students into our higher institutions of learning and research efforts. I mean, the Chinese even have their own kind of police stations in the United States and in other countries that it's been in the news here recently, where they try to police or control the behavior of expatriate Chinese. You know, we're keeping an eye on you. You belong to Mother China, you know, not working and benefiting to the United States. They have the cultural institutes, you know, across our country. So they are very, very aggressive in their efforts. We don't match that, which is a huge failure on our part. But an incident like this balloon, I think, has a way of waking up the public that it's not a quiet world out there, and people are actively trying to collect on the United States, damage our interests, and exert their will, and we just need to get our act together and be realistic about the nature of that world.
Dakota, does the United States' response to this balloon that is in our airspace, crossing over with in the visuals mm-hmm. of civilians yeah. on the ground, does our reaction, we shoot it out of the sky or we let it float across, does that make a difference to China?
It does. You know, this is kind of like when China will probe the airspace of Taiwan. They want to do that just to cause problems to the Taiwanese, but it also allows them to gauge the reaction, right? How quickly can Taiwan or Japan get their airplanes? You know, what are the command and control procedures to that? What kinds of radio communications? The response time, the intercept methodologies, and those sorts of things. So using that as an analogy, by doing this thing against the United States, engaging public and government reaction, it informs them as to how America operates. And then if they wanted to exploit that in some way in some future conflict, you know, they've got a leg up, right? And so how our government responds, the nature of public outcry, all those sorts of things are really, really important on that. I think the Biden administration could be doing a much better job at laying out some of these issues instead of being so opaque, you know, so ambiguous in their phrasing, and we can't talk about this and can't just lay it out there. You know, the American public's a smart group of people, and they know a line of BS when they hear it, and mm-hmm. and they appreciate honesty and credibility and these sorts of truth telling sorts of biz. You know, they would appreciate that from the government, and I think that's where our current government has really gone wrong.
Last question for you, Dakota, and I have a million more, but only time for one more.
Sure.
The way that this situation is handled, what does that look like? Who in the government is sitting around tables making decisions about what happens next?
Well, you've got the military side. So the services involved, U.S. Northern Command, also co-headed as a North American Defense and NORAD. The military chain goes up through the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs and Secretary of Defense, and they provide military options and their thoughts about it. And then at the White House level, the National Security Council and the advisors to the president view that, and they also then marry it with, you know, foreign policy sorts of things, economic relationships. The White House is all over, you know, climate change. And so Blinken, the Secretary of State, was heading over to China to talk about, lowering carbon emissions, you know, talking with the largest polluter in the entire world, that being China. So that tells you where their focus is at, right? Diversity and equity and all these other sorts of issues. So you have all these advisors in the White House that put all of that together and then say, okay, well, how do we deal with this balloon thing, right? And that is all kind of opaque. It all occurs inside the halls of the White House. Risk tolerance, how do we want to deal with China when we've got things going on over in Ukraine and, you know, the Middle East with Israel and all that other kind of good stuff. And so, you know, they have their own thought process And so when they come out with a statement, usually that is informed by all of these other competing interests.
Well, like I said, still so many questions, and I guess we'll probably know more as the days go by. Hopefully we can grab you back here and continue this conversation once we do know more next week.
Happy to help. Absolutely.
Thank you, Dakota. We appreciate you.
Take care. God bless.
You as well. Bye-bye. Senior Research Fellow for Defense Programs at the Heritage Foundation. It's a lot of info. Do you have more questions now?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It the more you focus in on this, the more you realize it's a bigger deal than it seems when you just watch the image go by on TV.
And you had sent that message to me to ask, and he kind of articulated that in his response to the first question, because he just provides so much information, but that the commonality of things like this, it's obviously happening more than you and I would know that it's happening. Mm-hmm. But this one, everybody knows. And it's just casually floating right across the United States.
The one thing that he mentioned that I thought, you know what, that probably is good news out of this, is that it is making people aware that there are issues that are beyond their home. And these are issues we talk about on the regular, but they're not things that people think about all the time. And now they are.
You're saying that there's a bigger threat out there than gas stoves?
I am, and I'm sorry to say that.
Ryan's always here to crash everybody's party. Everybody's party.
Well, it takes a Chinese balloon to do it sometimes.
Who ordered this? It was Ryan Wiggins. Let's take a quick break and do a little Wiggins America. When we come back. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK. It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.